Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our Old Testament lesson, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 to 9. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, on this Easter day, when my wife and I were married back in Chinatown in New York City, I had to buy for my wife's family a pig. Now, there are not pigs running around New York City that you can just find, certainly not in Chinatown. So I gave to my mother-in-law the monetary equivalent. Actually, what happened was she came up to me and she said, "Here, take this." And she gave me the money. She said, "Now give it back to me." And I gave it back to her. And then she said, "Well, now you bought us the pig." We all have our customs. And this, of course, was before my wife's parents became Christians and were baptized, and praise the Lord for that. But there's a custom, I'm sure, for poor people, at least in the old days, back in rural China. And when there was a wedding, no doubt the groom had to be able to demonstrate that he was a good provider and that he would be able to put food on the table for his future family. And so he would give to the bride's family a what? A pig. But I think there's more to it than that. More to it because if you were a poor rural family in China, your day-to-day diet was rice and maybe some vegetables. But if you had a wedding, or if you had people coming to visit, family members or friends from far off, that would mean a celebration. And when you had your celebration, you would eat rice and you would eat vegetables, but you would also eat what? You would also eat meat, which was quite a special thing. And so the groom does what? He is there to provide for the bride's family a pig. Isaiah chapter 25. I think you can understand it. Isaiah 25, the prophet Isaiah hears a celebration going on. And the prophet Isaiah sees a celebration going on. And the sound of it and the appearance of the celebration is coming back to his ears from the future. He's hearing and he's seeing something that will happen in future days because he's a prophet of God. And this is what he says. He says, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, a feast of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined." Now, you and I, as modern Americans, we hear that and we say, "Oh my word, cholesterol." But for folks back then, it was different, wasn't it? For us, our problem is we have too many calories. For them, it's what? Too few. Too few. It was the kind of thing that the Lord's people back then seldom, if ever in this life, ever tasted or enjoyed. And the Lord said, "Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to spread a feast for you. And it's going to have the richest of foods and foods filled with marrow and wine and all kinds of good things. The Lord will spread the table." And of course, you spread the table when you're celebrating something. What are they celebrating in Isaiah chapter 25? I'll read it for you. You see if you can tell me. It says, "The Lord will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever." Again, another old custom. When somebody dies, You lay their body out, and what do? You put a sheet or a covering over their body. And the Lord says, I'm going to get rid of the sheet. I'm going to get rid of the covering. I'm going to swallow up death forever. Right now, it's cast over all peoples, and that means you and me. Right now, it's spread over all nations. That means you and me. Nobody's excluded from it. Death comes. But now, in the future, the Lord says, no one will be affected by it anymore. You don't die. Death will die. The Lord has swallowed it up. And so they are celebrating. But that's not everything. They're celebrating for another reason, too. Again, from Isaiah 25, it says, the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. And where did they get the tears from? Well, they got the tears from going out the door and out into this world. And all the things that this world deals out to you, all the tears of this life. And the Lord says, that's not going to be around anymore. No more tears, no more reason for them. You're only going to have joy in the Lord. You're celebrating. And what are they celebrating? Again, Isaiah 25. The reproach of his people, the Lord will take away from all the earth. The reproach. That's that thing that other people have about Christians. When they look at us and they think, well, maybe you folks are just a little too rustic, a little too unsophisticated, a little too uneducated, a little too simple-minded. St. Paul admitted it when he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians. This is what he said. He said, consider your calling. In other words, when God called you to be his child. Consider your calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us our wisdom from God, our righteousness from God, our holiness from God, our redemption from God. Wisdom from God, because it is a wise person that is at the Lord's party, his celebration. Righteousness from God, because it's a righteous person who is at the party. Sanctification or holiness from God, because it's a holy person who's at the party. Redemption from the Lord, because it's a redeemed person who is at the Lord's party. Now you hear those words and you say, well, that's a lot to measure up to. But actually not, because you don't have to measure up to it. That's our Christian faith. We don't measure up. We know that from the get-go, from the start. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But how does the verse end? They're justified freely by his grace, which came in Christ Jesus, so that he who boasts, let him boast in the Lord, because Jesus is my wisdom, Jesus is my righteousness, Jesus is my holiness, Jesus is my redemption. So who's at God's party? His Christian people. They're together there with the Lord. And again, what are they celebrating? They are celebrating that the Lord has spoken. Everybody else has spoken up to this point, but the one who gets the last word is always the Lord God. The Lord has spoken. When the Lord spoke at the beginning, everything came into existence. When the Lord spoke on Good Friday and on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Then all sin was paid for. When the Lord spoke, his son was raised from the dead. We remember that on the first Easter day. We remember that today. When the Lord spoke in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit together with water, you became his child. And as the Lord's child, you began to talk differently. You learned how to talk like a child does. And you began to say the words of Psalm 16. Today's psalm. Therefore, my heart is glad. My whole being rejoices. My flesh dwells secure. Lord, you will not abandon my soul to the grave. You will not let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so it is that when the Lord speaks, all things that are here will come to an end. And his children will be taken into his home, and the party and the celebration will begin. And as the book of Revelation says, there will be no more death, and there will be no more crying, there will be no more weeping, for the old order of things has passed away. And when that happens, the Lord demonstrates something. What does he demonstrate to us? He demonstrates that he's a good provider. He is a good provider. He puts food on the table, but he does so much more than that. He gives us everything that we need for this life and also for the life to come. The Lord provides for his future family. And so it is, Isaiah chapter 25. It will be said on that day, the last day, and it will be said on every day to follow for all eternity. Behold, this is our God. We waited for him that he might save us. Behold, this is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Lord.